boy came home from school, what was wrong with the present?
Well, there was nothing wrong with the present. We picked this present out together. His teacher is a lady. She's a third grade teacher. She's 25 years old. She's engaged to be married. We wanted to get a Christmas present for her that was a little bit different from what the other kids were getting their teachers. We got her a nursing brassiere, and the school called and told him that I had to pick him up and that we had to bring the present home.
Is she an expectant mother?
No, she's engaged to be married. But we thought it would be fun, and we thought it was something that was a little bit different. Most of the kids, and here's something, I give you a little bit of a helping hand, Phil, as a new father. You need to know that most kids are going to bring the teacher a gift for Christmas, like a coffee mug or a perfume or something. And a lot of these single fathers, because this Mrs. Gale, this Ms. Gale is very attractive, she's a single young woman, are going to try to get on her good side. We're not pandering to her. And my son helped me pick out the gift.
This was a what?
It's a nursing brassiere. It's a brassiere that pregnant women wear. And what we
All right, now, if she's a single woman, but she is engaged to be married?
She's engaged to be married. And we thought it was a lot of fun, and we thought it was a useful present.
Here's the question that I have. The school obviously didn't think it was appropriate.
The school is run by a lot of little old ladies. I don't want to use that term. I use that euphemistically. But it's a school run by the old line thinkers in the town that we live in, which is Rockdale. It's right outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. A lot of old line thinkers who don't understand the new education. A lot of them are the politically correct people. A lot of them the liberal thinkers from the 60s and 70s.
So, to you, the fact that your son's gift of a nursing brassiere that he gave to his teacher was sent home is political correctness run amok?
Oh, she's a single woman who's engaged to be married, and it was entirely innocent. It's a very useful gift. I can tell you, I get disgusted when my son comes back from school and tells me the other gifts that she got this week. She's very attractive, and the other fathers try and impress her, and I think it's a little bit pathetic.
Well, they're giving her coffee mugs.
Pen and pencil sets, coffee mugs. You can see they're really trying to suck up to her. I have full respect for the fact that this woman has a man in her life. I'm not trying to steal her away like these other single fathers who I think embarrass themselves with the gifts of perfume and kitchen knives.
And you are Eric Hester, and you work for...
Yes, sir.
And you work for Wrigley Institute, and your son is Sean?
My son is Sean, yeah.
And he's in the Rockdale district there, where he was sent home from school after giving what the school district terms an inappropriate gift to his... What class is this?
This is Sean's third grade class. Her name is Ms. Gale. And I want to say something, Phil. I don't have, and Eric holds no grudge against this teacher. It's the school district, and school districts like this one all across the country that are politically correct, that are stealing away the free-thinking abilities of our young people. I have taught my son to think for himself. He's a young man. We picked the gift out together. We made jokes about it. We went to the lingerie department at, I forget where it was, JCPenney, and he said, and he would hold up brassieres and say, this one's too small for her, and she couldn't get those into this one. And he's a little man in a lot of ways.
This is an 8-year-old boy, though, right?
He's an 8-year-old.
I'm not trying to tell you how to be a father. It's a little young.
Well, you know something, Phil? I'm a single father. His mother is not in his life. I do the best I can. I'm a man. I'm not a woman. I'm not going to protect my son. As a father, I have the instinct that most fathers have, and that is to show the boy as much of the world as possible. Unlike mothers, who will coddle these children, keep them from life, and eventually these children go into life crippled.
Well, that's a whole other discussion, I guess.
I'm not trying to put down mothers.
Well, that comment did put down mothers. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And I'm talking here with Mr. Eric Hester, 1-800-449-8686. You bought a gift, your son and you picked this gift out for his third grade teacher.
That is correct, yeah.
And it was a nursing brassiere.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is something that pregnant women wear when they have to nurse children.
Yes, they wear this out in public, yeah.
And yet the woman you bought it for is a single woman. She's engaged to be married.
Well, you're hitting that kind of hard.
I don't mean to hit it hard, but she's not pregnant.
Well, we thought it was a fun gift. We thought it was something that she would use eventually if she became a mother. I said to Eric, I said to Sean, when you get older, Sean, and you have a girlfriend, and she's, you know, I said to him, and if the lady has the big things, which is the way we communicate with each other, this would be fun for her to wear, for you to have fun with the big things. These are the things that I say to my son to show him that this world is not just a world of women and a world of female teachers and a world of mothers that will coddle him and keep him from real life. Thank God, if my son is to be raised by a single-parent household, thank God he's being raised by a man. And
Men have their way of communicating with their children. Women have their way of communicating with their children. You may have, and I'm just saying this, Mr. Hester, you may have sort of overstepped it by having the teacher, having your son give his third grade teacher a nursing bra. He's a little boy. He's 8 years old.
No, the problem is the political correctness. They're politically correct.
Well, all right, political correctness. The kid gave her a brassiere for a Christmas present. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. But this is there was absolutely nothing wrong with it.
What did she think about it?
I think she thought it was fine. I don't think she had a problem. I think she, my son Sean said she giggled when she got it.
Well, I don't think so, because somebody in the administration office had to have picked this thing up, didn't they?
I can tell you this, Phil, again. Do not, and I say this, Phil, do not allow yourself to become a victim of political correctness. We bought her a perfectly innocent nursing bra. We threw in a card. Yes, it's sexy, but it's also it's something she can do. If she stays single, she can use it. If she ever gets pregnant, she can use it. You can have fun with it both ways. And that's basically what we were sending the message here. Have some fun. You're a beautiful woman. Have fun. And if you can't have fun, have a baby. And
you and your 8-year-old son are sending this message.
Yes, sir.
All right. The problem is, maybe it's not a problem with you sending the message, although I don't think that...
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Don't tell me what there's a problem. There's not a problem at all. The problem is with the school district. The problem is with the old hens that run the school board. The problem is with the teacher if she found fault. There's no problem with me or my son. Giving a third-grade teacher, a 25-year-old single woman who's engaged to be married, a nursing brassiere and a pair of silk underwear is perfectly normal. She opened the gift in front of the whole class. She smiled and said, thank you, so she must have liked it.
Well, I don't think she's going to say, I don't like it, in front of an 8-year-old boy.
Well, at least my son and I aren't insulting her with some of these other ridiculous gifts that fathers are sending with pen and pencil sets and things like that. That's all I'm saying.
All right, before we take a break, what do you want?
What we want is a letter of apology from the school district. That's number one. I'll tell you something. We were in the ladies' wear section of the Dickens Mall. My son, he's 8 years old, was holding these brassieres up and saying, nope, too small, or way, way too small, or Ms. Gale would never get them in this one. And I remember that because...
Ms. Gale would never get them in this one.
Yes. You're finding fault with that?
Yeah, I an 8-year-old boy talking about a woman's breasts is them.
Okay. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is... we would like a letter of apology from the district, and I think to make amends, I would enjoy it if Ms. Gale, who is the third grade teacher, her name is Ellen Gale, would have a drink with me, a cocktail after school sometime, because I'd like her to sit down with me and tell me just exactly what the problem is.
So you want a letter of apology from the district, and you want to take this third grade teacher out for a drink so she can explain?
We want to smooth things over. Yes.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. You know, gifts are given by kids to school teachers all the time. This one was a brassiere, a nursing bra. I don't know what it is, but I'm told it's rather functional, and it's meant for something that only a married woman with kids would be able to use it for. He and his 8-year-old son picked this out in a JCPenney, and now they have been told that the gift is inappropriate. They're asking for a letter of apology from the school district, and this father wants to take the teacher out for a cocktail. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And I don't do that at all.
All right, we're back here. Eric Hester is the father of an 8-year-old boy named Sean who gave his third grade teacher a nursing bra and a massage item. But the massage item, sir, is called a vibrator, isn't it?
Well, Mr. Henry, you keep wanting to return to that. It is something that is used to massage the neck, to massage the shoulders.
It's called a... Don't you know it also is a vibrator?
Other people may know it as that. We gave her a nursing brassiere so that when she is a mother, she will be able to nurse her children and something to massage the neck and the shoulders. But again, this all goes back to the political correctness of the school districts around the country. And I know there are many parents that agree with me when I say we are sick and tired of having these old hens and these old buzzards on the school boards keeping our children in check with these ridiculous rules about what they can give their teacher for Christmas or what they can bring to school.
Well, I tell you something. I know what you're saying about political correctness, but giving a third grade teacher a vibrator...
Please, Mr. Henry.
It's a vibrator, a nursing bra, and some kind of a flavored lubricant. What was that?
You're getting off the...
You gave the woman flavored lubricant. What is it? What was that?
It is a cherry-flavored skin lotion that my son picked out for her.
Where did you guys go shopping?
The point here that I'm trying to make, if I can make my point, is that it was an innocent gift given by a small child to a beautiful young woman who's engaged to be married, and there was absolutely no harm intended. And my boy was traumatized by the school district, told that his present was not wanted, and he was sent home from school.
All right, I'm just on a checklist of the things that you gave this teacher. A nursing bra, flavored lubricants, and a vibrator. 1-800-449-868, which you call a massage item.
Which I know was a massage item.
1-800-449-8686. Eric Hester is a father, and his son is his son. And a boy brought his teacher a present. Here is Anna. Anna, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, ma'am, and speak up, please.
I can't believe that a father would do that to his child. How absolutely horrible can he be? That was strictly for the father's benefit.
No, ma'am. I took my boy to buy a present for his teacher, which is traditional for children to buy their teacher's present at Christmas time. And I don't know how long it's been since you gave birth to a child or if you ever did, but it is a very customary thing.
Not for a child, sir.
Are you a grandmother?
I am very sorry. I have children, and that is beside the point.
Would you please explain to me what was inappropriate about her asking her out on a date? Could you please explain to me, ma'am, what was inappropriate about what I did?
That is personal things. You give those to a woman that you are married to or dating. You do not expose your son to things like that. That is
so
totally
the woman is not supposed to have a massage.
Well, you keep calling it a massage stick. It's a vibrator.
I think the conversation, Mr. Henry, indicates where
your
mind is.
You gave her a bra. You gave her panties. Those are personal items that no child should be embarrassed at being expected to give those things to his teacher.
So my son is supposed to follow along with all the other sheep.
That's the problem with this world. You people...
The problem with this world is you people who are not original thinkers.
No. You just want to teach your son to be a pervert.
My son thought the bra was fun. He wore it around on his head when we were packing it up.
Well, I'm he said, look at this. I'm sitting in where my teacher's booth is going to be. And I sure hope that the school district does something to help
I hope the school district does something, too. They should fire the old buzzards that are on the school board, and let's get some young people in there that can progress.
They have young people, and you embarrass the daylights out of them.
So you're telling me the panties my son picked out for his teacher for our trip to Mammoth is wrong, too?
Absolutely.
What trip to Mammoth?
What?
She is going to be going with us to a timeshare. I want to sit down. I want to talk this out. I do not want...
Oh, I wouldn't let her sit down with you. And she won't sit down
want
with
to
you.
Talk this out.
It.
Wait a minute. Did you invite this woman out of town for the weekend?
With my son. With my son. I want to sit down and
you
talk it
sick.
Out.
You are sick. You need to get
I'm
help.
I'm sick. You know something? May all people die.
Okay. Thank you very much, Anna. What did you say, sir?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
You said, may all old people die. Didn't you? Huh?
Maybe.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You're at that same golf course that a guest of mine was on last week, near a harbor?
Right, I'm down at Palos Verdes.
Because I can hear you hitting balls, and I hear a tugboat.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, now the question that I have for you is this woman who you've invited out of town, she is an engaged woman. Do you think that's appropriate?
Mr. Henry, again, your mind is going to the gutter, which I have great respect for you, and I don't denigrate your line of work. This woman is going to help my son get credit and get ready for the SATs in Mammoth. She's going to come up as a tutor, and I want to talk to her and get some things straight about how it is she could have my boy humiliated. We gave her perfectly lovely panties, a vibrating massage stick, flavored lubricants, a special family case of some kind of a jelly. I don't know what it was. I actually did not see the label on it. There are some other things that we threw. It was kind of a gift pack of assorted things that we got.
Where did you guys go?
We went over here to the Hustler store, and this is located...
The Hustler store!
Oh, by the way, let me see this. Phil, we got the naked men playing cards, too. We have...
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, buddy, this is an inappropriate thing, and have good time golfing, but you're in big trouble.
I'm not in big trouble. The school district is. If they think their political correctness is going to keep me from letting this woman enjoy the strap-on that I bought...
I don't want to know about the stuff that you bought her for Christmas. She's going out of town to Mammoth with you. She's a school teacher. She got these gifts for Christmas. What?
All right. Can I ask you one question?
What?
So, nipple clamps are...
No, they're not appropriate gifts. Not from an 8-year-old.
What if they're for me?
If they're for you, fine. What do they got to do with her?
I want her to use them on me.
So, you see what I'm saying?
By the way, as a stocking stuffer, we got her a copy of Monumental Memories number 2, and I think she really...
Guy talked really fast because he knows I'm going to hang up on him. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget our toll-free line for the CD is 877-616-PHIL. The most incredible, the funniest, the most fantastic CD filled with the best of the Phil Henry Show over the last year that you will ever find anywhere. It's a double CD, and all the money goes to my friend's place. It's a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
fabulous. It's the Comb Over Boys Show. This is not a show hosted by a right-wing wack or a convicted felon. No! I am your host. Isn't that exciting? I'm your host. Isn't that a meaningful statement? I'm your host. You can call the Comb Over Boys Show right now. 1-800-806-WITH-TOM. That's 1-800-806-WITH-TOM. Wow, I'm going to tell you what a weekend I had. And I want to get your feelings on this. Give me a call. Because I want to tell you, I really had some great sex this past weekend. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, huh? Huh? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, huh? That's right. Now, a lot of people say to me, Comb Over, when you're having sex, do you talk the way you do in bed like you do on the air? And I say, of course I do. Women like it. My wife likes it. I'll say, come on, baby, give it to me. And when I whisper sweet nothings into her ear, I say, I really dig you. You got great breasts. Want to come home with me? Things like that. Well, this past weekend, I had an experience that I want to share with you. I want to get your feelings on this here. So give me a call. Because this past weekend, I had sex with my cat. And you guys know what I'm talking about, huh? You do, don't you? I want to get your feelings on that by calling me here about having sex with a cat. And what's wrong with it? You know, society is always trying to tell us what to do. Society's always trying to tell us that we don't have a right. Always trying to tell you what to do with your life. I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of these politically correct people. And if I want to have sex with my cat or my dog, that's my business. Because I want to tell you right now, I knocked off a piece of cat this past weekend. It was fantastic. It's a calico. And I had it declawed. And what I did was I put a rope around its neck and then tied it to the faucet of my bathtub and then just pulled on its tail. Damn, it was good. So I don't know, what's wrong with that? Why do we live in a society where that kind of thing is wrong? Now, the other question I want to have answered is, why is my show so unoriginal? Why can't I seem to come up with an original premise? And how is it I get the LA Times conned into doing an article on a show that is about five generations ripoff of some other show? But I want to get back on that. When I see a cat's ass staring at me like a big brown smile, I'll have sex with that cat, and nobody can tell me I can't have sex with the cat. So I'll have sex with the cat. So give me a call on that one. And then I also want to know, because I had some very judgmental, really uptight people, you know what I'm talking about, telling me that I shouldn't be lusting after my own grandmother. Are you going to imagine that? My grandmother's got the greatest butt you've ever seen. And my father. And my sister. This is the Comb Over Boys Show. You know our number. We tell them like it is on this program. Let's go to the line. Here's Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the Comb Over Boys Show.
Hi, Comb Over Boy. You really make me mad. Jesus.
Oh, really? Alright, thanks for your call.
And somebody don't know what to talk about.
So my question to you is, why is it wrong to have sex with my grandmother and my cat? Give me a call. Here's Mary. Mary's on the car phone. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Comb Over Boys Show.
Hi, Comb Over.
Hi, Mary.
How you doing?
Do you care?
That's so hysterical every time you say it. Do you care? It's kind of like a little hook, isn't it?
Yeah. So what do you think about me having sex with my cat grandmother?
I think you're disgusting. I hate you. You make me angry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I bet you like to come over here and we can do a quadruplesome. You know what they say, two paws up, four paws down.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
you know, well, Okay.
Well, you come on over and meet me after the show.
Well, all right. I mean, all right.
Well, something crazy about her, but I'm going to get her number anyway. She sounded sexy. Let me tell you something. If I want to see my grandmother naked, I'll see my grandmother naked. Nobody's going to have to tell me I can't. Hi, and here is Susie. Hi, Susie, on the Comb Over Boy Show.
Hi, Comb Over.
Hi, Susie.
Would you like to come to my house and show me how to
do the, Oh, get out of here. Stop it. I want some sexy chicks calling me today. I want to talk to some really sexy chicks. Tell me what's wrong with me having sex with my father and my cousin, who happens to work at the mobile station down the street. Here's Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
How you doing?
Real good.
Are you a girl?
Oh, yeah. Can't you tell?
You sound pretty good.
Well,
I want it. All right, we'll get right back to the action here. You're on the Comb Over Boy Show. Yeah! Get our number, 1-800-SHEEP-NEED-IT-TOO. 1-800-DUCT-TAPE-THAT-TAPSTER, that hamster's hind legs together. Be right back here on the Comb Over Boy Show on the Phil Henry Show, far superior to mine.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
What do you think the biggest story of the year 2002? Everybody's doing their lists, and this is just not really, it's not a list, it's just a question. What's the biggest news, what's the biggest forgotten news story of 2002? Do you remember this one? Greta Van Susteren had her eyes done. Yeah. See, people say, well, so what? Yeah, really? She had her eyes fixed, and she's like number one. Do I have a loop on? Oh, yeah, golf cart. It's the golf loop. She had her eyeballs fixed. She went out. Remember that time she had the droopy eyeballs? Now she comes in. The whole thing's been tucked up tight. And now I can't. There isn't a night that I don't think about her when I fall off to sleep. There isn't a night that I don't think of her. As I just toss and turn, sweating. Oh, man, baby. Greta Van Susteren. She looks, it's a marvelous, don't you think that her face was improved like at least 80%? Imagine what would happen if I got that done, because I got the same baggy eyes. I got that same baggy Irish kisser. I got the bags under the eyes. I've had them since I was 20. It's no, you know, no big thing with me. I'm not going to get any better looking. I'm not going to have any plastic surgery. I'd rather drive my car into a wall and go flying face first through the windshield than have plastic surgery. In other words, I would rather look like the Phantom of the Opera than have plastic surgery. And there comes a point when you have so much plastic surgery. Forget about Michael Jackson for a moment. Just think of faces that you've seen where the plastic surgery, you almost have the lizard look. The man's eyes are slightly lidded, like his eyes have been done too much. David Guest, who is the husband of Barbara Streisand or Judy Garland or some, Liza Streisand, is it? You mean Barbara Benelli? I don't know who the hell it is. He's married to someone, and I only pay attention to him. And he is so, God, is he good looking. He looks like he ought to be just snapping flies with that tongue sitting on a rock someplace, warming himself in the noonday sun. With that kisser. Jesus, you talk about making a freight train take a dirt road. Can you believe a guy spends that kind of jack and he comes out looking like, you know, the ghoul in the pit? I would sue every plastic surgeon, even the guys that didn't work on my face. Just because, are you a plastic surgeon? Yeah, you're sued too. And nobody wants to answer the question, we've been asking it for weeks now. Who are the guys that do this work? Who are the plastic surgeons that do this work? What's that again? You want me to make you even uglier than you are? Why, certainly. Just go ahead and lay on this table. This is like something out of the Murders in the Rue Morgue. This is something out of the cabinets of Dr. Caligari. This is something out of interior design. This is something out of Designing Women. It's the scariest thing I've ever heard of. These cats with the plastic surgery, and you run screaming when you see them coming down the street. I saw a guy the other day. I was over at the Sagebrush Cantina, one of my favorite places over there in, where is that, Chris? In Calabasas. And I was sitting, and the guy was there, and I said, Jesus. Murray said, well, what? I said, I don't know, but there's something wrong with that guy's face. I said, he's handsome, but he's handsome in all the wrong ways. There's something, well, what do you mean? Come here and look at it. What is wrong with it? Well, he's had plastic surgery. She immediately hit it. I said, what do you think? Oh, he had the eyes done, the face was tucked, the ears were dropped, the nose was lifted, his head was in play. I think he dislocated his jaw and had it and I said, that's it, it's Carson Daly. She said, you're right. Okay. Okay, so here's the thing we said last week, and it's come true. Sean Penn is a chump. He is complaining about it in the news. Sean Penn is complaining that the Iraqis have used his words and twisted them, and his publicist is all agog and aghast. And she even allowed herself to be quoted. This is Sean Penn's publicist. The name is Mara Buxbaum. Why is it that if your boss goes over to Iraq and he looks like a schmuck, you have to open your big fat trap too and look even dumber? Mara Buxbaum, the spokeswoman for Sean Penn, who you knew was being used, and I don't understand it. Isn't he a college-educated guy? He's the son of Leo Penn, a man of great renown in Hollywood. He was a screenwriter and an actor or director or something. He's got a brother who is Christopher Penn, who is tremendous. He was in Reservoir Dogs. That's the only movie I ever saw him in, but that movie alone ranks him as one of the great actors, in my opinion. Sean Penn himself, a great artist, a great actor. Intelligent men, thoughtful men. And then the guy goes over to Iraq and is a photo op for the Ministry of Fear over there. For Abzul Bagweeb of the Ministry of Photography and Fear.
Yes, Mr. Penn, your movie is so great. I love Casualties of War.
Wow! That, we even pulled it here, but you know. Sean Penn, just back from his three-day fact-finding trip to Iraq, turned on his new pals in Saddam Hussein's government, claiming they've transformed him into a weapon of mass propaganda. Do you think, man? Do you think, dude? Hey, Sherlock. Really? Penn and various Iraqi bigwigs seem to be fast friends on Sunday when the Star issued a statement saying, quote, if there is a war or continued sanctions against Iraq, the blood of Americans and Iraqis alike will be on our hands, end quote. Very impressive. But then Baghdad's online news service came up with a considerably more juicy story about the Hollywood actor. Quote, the American movie star Sean Penn has condemned the U.S.-British threats to wage war against Iraq, end quote, it said. And then further it said, Penn has confirmed that Iraq is completely clear of weapons of mass destruction. Well, there you go. They're clear of weapons of mass destruction? Sean Penn says so. So we can pull the guys back now. Who? Sean Penn. Am I missing something? No, you're not. What do you mean you're missing anything? Isn't he a movie actor? Well, you have some respect, will you? Sean Penn went over there and he said, we ain't got no, there's nothing there. Well, I said to have some respect. Oh, get out of here. Penn's flack howled in protest, claiming her boss was the victim of terrorist misquotes. Oh, please, I don't know where those statements are being fabricated from, said spokeswoman Mara Buxbaum, who encouraged her boss to go to Iraq, thinking it would be good for his movie career. I'm kidding about that last part. She didn't say it. This is specifically propaganda. It's a twisted interpretation of what he said. They're twisting his words. Ms. Buxbaum, who's never had that experience with American newspapers, said. I see. So he's been quoted accurately in American newspapers. Hey, I got a great idea, Sean. If they're messing with you in the press in Iraq, go over and beat one of them up. Hey! There you go, pal. I tell you what. If they're bumming you out with the news coverage over there, do what you do to American reporters. Go slug one. Get off the plane. Before you get on the plane, he's back here. He can't do it no more. But if you're back over there, you should have popped one, man. You should have clocked one of those guys. According to Buxbaum, and that's not her real name, by the way. It's a gag name invented by Sean Penn. Penn never even spoke with the Iraq Daily. The Iraq Daily. I bet you they got the Iraq Bugle, too. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Iraq Bugle from Baghdad, and here is the news. Our soccer team, well, we haven't found a round ball yet. So why would Penn's newfound buddy stab him in the back? Penn is not available to answer that question. See, he's got to get back and get his head together, man. He's got to get his stuff together for his next film. So he's got to come back and chill, maybe go over to Tony Hopkins' house and sit and stare at the Pacific and just drink in a depressed manner, popping pills and saying, oh, why the hell of our lives? Maybe he and Tony will stroll down the steps to the private beach, look at these seals frolicking on the rocks out there in the bay, sip another white wine and say, the American press, screw them all. Maybe they'll loathe the very day they became actors, hate the very moment they became famous because their words are twisted in the Iraq Daily. And then finally, as they fall down together in bed, naked, making love to one another, they'll realize that it's all worth it. All worth it. Oh, what happened to Metallica? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Metallica, by the way, is the nickname of that vibrator that Mr. Hester got for his teacher, you know. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Well, we want to remind you, of course, our website has our beautiful CD, and our website has a lot more, too. It's got all of our classic audio. Log on. Get the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD at philhendryshow.com, or get a backstage pass. All of that fantastic audio available to you in one fell swoop. It's only $6.95 a month, and it gets you access to the greatest website, to the funniest show in the history of radio, The Phil Hendry Show. And we say that with all humility. We don't want to say it, but the fact is we listen to the radio too, and come on. So it's philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Get our Best Of CD too. It goes to all the proceeds, that is, go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. I know my mouth sounds dry, and you may think that I've been doing cocaine, but I haven't. The fact is I am on allergy medication, and it dries out my mouth, just so you realize that. Don't go calling my boss.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The following bit was originally attempted on Monday using a different character voice. Today we will retry the bit using a different character and better material. See if you can tell the difference.
That's what I told her, and I would never do that.
R.C., I know that, hold on for a minute. I know that you're a cadet and you are a cadet at a military academy, but you are not in the Army. And when you say that President Bush is your commander-in-chief, he's your commander-in-chief once you get into the military, right?
Mr. Hendry, I am a cadet at a military academy, it's true, but I consider President Bush to be my commander-in-chief. And I would go into battle for him. Trent Lott has disgraced him. Trent Lott has disgraced my commander-in-chief, and as such, I cannot sit still while the leader of the United States Armed Forces is mocked, disgraced, and made to look bad by a member of the United States Senate who has never been in the military himself. And I'm afraid, as a man speaking on behalf of the United States of America military, I do believe Senator Lott has to take it to the next level.
All right, we're talking to R.C. Collins. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. Are you asking for Senator Lott's resignation on behalf of the entire United States military?
Mr. Hendry, I'm simply saying that as just one of the men charged with defending our country, I'm simply saying that Senator Lott should do the right thing in accordance with the military code of conduct and military custom.
Now, you say you're speaking for the whole military. You're in a military academy.
There's really not a big difference. When I graduate next year, then I'll go to basic training of the American Army. Right now, I'm a junior cadet. I've earned 3 badges in our obstacle course, in weapons training, and also in the 512 training that I'm going to tell you about.
All right, I respect that, but why should Trent Lott resign because you say so? Because you're speaking for all the military, or because he's really done something that is obviously bad?
Because he disrespected the commander-in-chief.
And every guy in the military feels that way.
Every guy in the military doesn't want the commander-in-chief to be disrespected. And
all right, so you're asking for his resignation.
Well, I'm asking for more, Mr. Henry. I think Senator Lott should take his own life, and in doing so, he would then resign, too, in taking his life.
You're talking about suicide.
Yes, sir, I am. But
all right, is this what you're saying when you say the military code of conduct, a man taking his own life?
Yes, sir, I am. Something that every one of us in the military is vowed to do should circumstances require it. You adapt, you overcome. If necessary, you make the ultimate sacrifice. And
this is not a man who is going to resign, and this is not a man who's going to die for this. You can't expect him to stick a gun in his mouth over this.
Sir, Mr. Henry, had I opened my mouth and spewed the hate that man has spewed and embarrassed the commander of the chief the way he has, I would gladly taste the metal of a Ruger P-93 or a P-94.
What he has done, son, what he has done...
Excuse me, sir, you can take son and...
All right, I'm sorry. Young man, what he has done is not that bad, or are you saying that according to military tradition, it is?
Yes, sir, it is.
And so in the tradition of the military, one must take one's life.
He has insulted and disgraced my commander-in-chief. He has weakened our nation in a time of great peril. He has postponed the momentum that we had on our impending and very righteous attack against the evil of Iraq. And all the great men and women who would be protecting our country are now focusing on this. This is standard military procedure, Mr. Henry.
Son, and I didn't mean to call you son. Do you know...
Just remember you're talking to a cadet who will be defending you.
All right. Do you know what you're proposing? That a man stand, and you're asking that a man do this according to the military code of conduct, which is something you guys are volunteering to be, an honor guard at his suicide?
He stands between two rows of Bradley Military Academy cadets, yes.
And then what?
Then he places the handgun in his mouth and discharges the weapon between two rows of blue-clad Bradley Military Academy cadets and our cadet press liaison.
He's going to stand between two rows of 13-year-old boys and shoot himself.
That is my proposition, or any United States military escort. It's something we train for. All branches of the military train for this eventuality, and we do it at the military academy level as well. And let me tell you something. Even though it's not real, it's a moment of truth.
All right, I'm going to ask you, and you call it Code 9 training.
Code 9 training is taking your own life.
R.C. Collins, Military Academy cadet, is calling for Trent Lott to commit suicide, to take his own life because he has disgraced the President of the United States. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Ordinarily, I would say that this is an insane suggestion, but you say that this is part of military tradition.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've seen plenty of movies where the German colonel goes into...
Yeah, like Rambo.
Okay, like the German or the Japanese guy commits suicide with the Harry Caray knife.
Yeah, like Rambo, he committed suicide to save the honor of his family, and a lot of Japanese colonels committed Harry Caray.
What if any of them committed Skip Caray, you know?
You know something, Mr. Henry? Ordinarily, that'd be funny, but we're talking about our country. We're talking about our commander-in-chief.
I understand that. All right, tell me how you train for Code 9.
Code 9 training is usually done with some form of simulated weapon. It's not something we talk about, but it is something we know.
How do you do it?
It's a simulated weapon, not unlike a cap pistol. If and when our country calls on us to take our own lives to protect information, or if we have disgraced our nation and must take our own life, we don our dress blues, we take a final look in the mirror, we salute the flag of the United States. We then quietly and as fervently as we can recite the Pledge of Allegiance with the word God in it. We then walk to the parade grounds. There we face Commandant Wireman's quarters. He comes to the window or the balcony, salutes us. We then hum our school anthem, Hail Ye Bradley, Bradley Ye for Me. Commandant Wireman then gives the final command.
Wait. Is this something that is all happening before you commit suicide?
Before Code 9, yes, sir.
All right, so Commandant Wireman is there. You've just sung the school song, Hail Ye Bradley, Bradley Ye for Me.
Yes, sir.
Then what?
Commandant Wireman then gives the final command, of which is a very quick curtsy, and then blows a kiss. He retires to his room, and he...
Okay, hold on for a minute. Before you guys all put cap pistols in your mouths...
What are you laughing about?
You're not really going to kill yourselves. This is Code 9 training.
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, what I've just said sends a shudder through every fighting man and woman, because we in the military know this could be our destiny.
All right, so Commander Wireman then gives a final command. It's a quick curtsy, and he blows a kiss, goes back into his quarters, then what?
He retires to room. Then we place the cap pistols in our mouths, we discharge the weapons, and then we pretend that we're dead and we fall to the ground.
Uh-huh.
Then we pretend we're dead, we fall to the ground and stay there for 10 seconds. So Commandant Wireman can see what it looks like should the entire junior class ever commit suicide on the parade grounds.
Okay.
So there you have it.
Well, I think that it is a part of military life that I simply was not aware existed.
And Trent Lott's not in the military, but because of what he's done to the president, we demand that he commit suicide as soon as possible and then resign.
And then resign.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should Trent Lott commit suicide because of the way he disgraced President Bush? We'll be right back. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
Yes, sir.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I can tell you it's not a good thing, Mr. Henry, to even simulate suicide. But it's something that every fighting man and woman in this country has to train for. Because if I'm captured by the enemy, I don't want to give, obviously, information to them. And it is the duty of every fighting man and woman to take their own life.
Trent Lott, though, is not in the military.
But Trent Lott has disgraced his country. He has taken focus away from our commander-in-chief, and he has made it difficult for the Republican Party to have a ruling mandate in the Senate. The time is now for Senator Lott to do the right thing. According to military code of conduct, assemble a color guard of either Marines, Navy, or military academy, place himself between two ranks of fighting men and women, place the pistol, either a Ruger P-934 or a Ruger 93, or it must be nickel-plated, place the barrel in his mouth, taste the metal, love the metal, discharge the weapon. Your country will love you.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Stuart. Stuart, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard of.
That's the way we do it in the military.
I may be wrong here, but the man should resign. Yes, I agree with you there.
Yes, sir.
But he should not kill himself. I mean, if I'm captured, and I'm a soldier, and I'm captured, every minute that I'm alive is a minute that I can be trying to escape.
It's also
captivity.
They'll torture you.
I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to abandon my wife and children and my country because
sir,
I'm a coward and want to stick a gun in my mouth and swallow a bullet.
That's not a coward. That takes courage. Otherwise, they'll torture you and get information.
Let them torture you to death. Keep your tongue. Hold your tongue as long as you
there's
can.
There's no way. They'll torture you.
Find a way to escape. Do not shoot yourself.
They can put red ants on your genitals. It hurts.
Well, whatever, kid. I don't want to know torture techniques.
I don't either.
You're telling both of us here that you guys trained Code 9 in the military to take your own lives.
Absolutely, sir. Now, what I'm saying about Trent Lott is this. He has made a mockery of the Republican Party and our commander-in-chief. I think he would be doing a great service to his country if he swallowed a bullet.
I think he'd do a great service to this country if he resigned.
But he would
let
be...
Let him resign in disgrace. Let it be known that he won't be elected to any other public office as long as he's alive, because this will hang over his head forever.
But if he killed himself, that's also the same as resigning, because he wouldn't be able to do the job anymore, too.
And he wouldn't be able to see his wife and kids
and he wouldn't be alive.
Well, he already did apologize, so there's only one thing left to do. Take his own life.
Lord.
It would be way better than just look stupid the way he do now.
That man has to do is resign.
He's putting our country in danger.
He's resigned from that Senate. He's not putting anything in danger. He's hiding right now. He's going to keep hiding.
Have you ever been in the military?
No.
Well, that's the whole thing, that you don't know about Code 9.
Oh, come on, kid.
I have a father who is a colonel in the Air Force, and he's never mentioned anything about Code 9 to me.
I just talked
to him just before I called this show, and he has never mentioned anything of Code 9. He's never heard of Code 9.
Did you ask him about it?
Yes. He was a pilot. And
No problem. So they didn't go over to the commandant's quarters and salute him and then put cap pistols in their mouths?
No.
Well, that's a new one.
He wouldn't do that. He's not that... I've never heard anything like that before until I heard this show tonight.
Well, here's the thing. You say that the cadets go over to the commandant's quarters, he curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir. That is a traditional salute. Yes, sir.
He curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir.
Is he pretending to be a woman at this point?
I don't know why he would do that, sir, when 30 cadets are about ready to shoot themselves.
Bid you a farewell, I guess. That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, he's just sort of like, you know, nice trip, boys.
Yeah.
Sir, that is the ultimate send-off by a commanding officer, and if you say your brother was in the United States Air Force...
No,
ask him about the curtsy and your father. Ask him about the curtsy. It is one of the ultimate send-offs by any command. Call your dad up and say, Dad, did anybody curtsy and blow up?
Will you get out of here with that?
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
I think you're getting a little off the subject.
Well, but the point being...
As far as I'm concerned, the man should resign. Yeah, he disgraced his country. But everybody's going to disgrace themselves in one way or another in their life. I don't think that everybody should eat a bullet because of
it. Did your brother ever pretend to be dead after shooting himself with a cap pistol?
All right, never mind about that story. Thank you for your call.
I bet you like curtsy for Year of a Man of a couple of times.
What?
I bet you like you Ike curtsied for Year of Man. I don't know.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins has been with us. He is a cadet. He is with the United States military. He's with a military academy in Altadena, California called Bradley. And he says that Senator Trent Lott should practice the military's custom of Code 9, which is if you've disgraced yourself, there's only one thing left to do, and that is to shoot yourself. 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget this number, 877-616-7445. That number gets you to our Best of CD collection. 1-877-616-7445. That's the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD collection. And that, of course, is our 2003 CD collection, which is two CDs which we'll send right out to you. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Our website also has Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts and the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. All next week, we're going to be doing a special theme week of Christmas shows. We hope you'll tune in for that. And this coming Friday, and that's like the day after tomorrow, we're doing our webcast. So we're going to have to think of something to do on our show. You got to get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95. And with the backstage pass, you can see what we do on our show. You can watch me do the show. You can watch us prep the show, which means we will move the camera from my office, where Janice and I try to put together the show every day, down here to the studio. And it'll be 6 hours on the air, 6 hours, excuse me, of webcast from 1 o'clock Pacific until 7 o'clock Pacific. We're using this 360-degree camera, which is really interesting. It's about as tall as a cup of coffee. It's about as wide as a, what's that, Craig? A vibrator? Thank you for that comparison. How wide would you say it is? It's about the top of a coffee cup. And it just sits there, and using your mouse, you can scroll around the room, or you can pivot the camera, if you will, around the room 360 degrees and see everything. That's going to be Friday, December the 20th, our second annual, before we do our week of Christmas shows, webcast. And it's happening on Friday, again, 1 until 7 Pacific time. To see it, you got to have a backstage pass. There is no way you can see this without a backstage pass, $6.95 for a month. That's not $6.95 for the webcast. That's $6.95 for the whole month. $6.95. That's one pack of cigarettes you give up. You got yourself the Phil Henry Show webcast. All next week, we'll be featuring our holiday Christmas shows, Polk Bin Laden, Secret Santa, Catapult Jesus, Bin Laden is Santa. All of those shows next week on holiday week, Christmas week, on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
Speaking of Trent Lott, Bobby Dooley yesterday on our program was on her way to the Homeowners Association Conclave to present her memorandum about Trent Lott, because she says out in California, in the gated communities out here, racism is so 5 minutes ago.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, I was angry when I started listening to this show, but actually, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was born on a sharecropper farm in Alabama. I'm 62 years old.
Are you black?
I'm white, and I don't have any prejudice in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of black friends.
Mm-hmm.
This lady is the most bigoted and the most prejudiced person I've heard on the air, and I'm not even proud that she's white.
Well, no,
come
wait
on.
Hold on for a minute,
the South, she's throwing the whole South down for nothing. What does she think about Louis Farrakhan? What do you think about him?
Lou Farrakhan? I don't know him.
Yes.
Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, come on. Do you ever read the paper or listen to the radio?
Oh, please. Who's Louis Farrakhan?
What do you think about all black colleges?
All what?
All black colleges.
Cabbages?
Yeah, college.
Black colleges.
I think they're wonderful. I think they're wonderful. I think Spike Lee came from one.
That's prejudice against whites. Now, what do you think about that?
No, it isn't. You can go if you want.
Well, I'm just telling you, you're the most prejudiced person I ever heard in my life.
But I want to ask you, was Louis Farrakhan the Incredible Hulk? Because
Louis Farrakhan
was one of the most outspoken black people in the United States, and you brought up Belafonte the other day. Listen to me, ma'am. I've listened to you for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Belafonte made the most ignorant statement about the man in government there about being a house boy, and I would have voted for that man, and he's black. I'd vote for him tomorrow.
You'd vote for Harry Belafonte?
No, I'd vote for the man he talked about.
Who?
Colin Powell. He called Colin Powell a house boy for
Mr. Bush, and he's black, and I know he's one of the most intelligent people I've met in my life, and I'm from Alabama.
I want to be clear. You say that Harry Belafonte called Colin Powell ass boy.
House boy, not ass boy.
House boy. He called the president, his president, house boy. That is the most serious thing I've ever heard, and he's black. Come on, ladies. You're the most serious person I ever heard in my life.
California
is no better than anywhere else that I've ever been, and I've been going there for years.
You can't breathe, you're liberal, you're everything. I follow the trends, and the trend out here in California is...
California is not squat. Come down south and enjoy the real South every once in a while and find out what the South is all about.
Just pick up a little slow,
we're a little kicked back. That's no problem.
I love to go to the South, but I don't like houses.
You put it all down. You thought Mississippi ought to ride you out of California on a rail.
No, I said that Condé Nast rated Mississippi one step above Serbia for traveling.
I don't believe that.
Below hell. California's one step below hell, but you live there in a gated community because you're afraid to step out.
Well, I'll say this for you, Don. You talk faster than that other guy.
Hey, I know what gated communities is.
We've got
plenty of people down here in gated communities. You got to go through the gate.
Wait a minute, Don, a gated community is not the county jail. I'm talking about...
Don't be a wise ass, okay?
No. I'm saying that gated communities in California are very casual.
You are funny.
You ought to go into that kind of life
because you do the best jokes that nobody ever seen. You ever said anything but jokes that you got on the radio?
What?
I'm from Alabama, and I'm from the South, and I'm not prejudiced. My best friends are black, so I don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where you're coming from either. You ought to listen to yourself.
I don't know, but you're amazing. I love you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
There's Bobby. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show, our webcast coming up on Friday, and we're going to be in here with a camera. Boy, you know, the webcast can be good, it can be bad, it can be, I mean, for you guys, it's great, but for me, it's, I realize there's a camera on me, and then I always like, I'll look at it, because we archive the webcast, and then I see my big, fat face, and then I realize I'm not as good looking as I used to be. Yeah, that's what's happened. I'm just not as good-looking a guy as I used to be. You see, once upon a time, I weighed 195 pounds. I was 6 feet tall, had plenty of thick hair. And because my time as a 20-year-old was in the 70s and 80s, I wore those tight jeans. That was the fashion, of course. I dated older women, younger women. Didn't matter, black, white, pink, green. Dated hot green chicks for a while. Back in the 70s and the 80s, sex was wild. There was no such thing as AIDS. There was only, what, yeast infections? I mean, that's something women had to worry about. Yeah, it was out of sight being a guy in the 70s. A, all that women's liberation stuff hadn't kicked in, so you still ruled the roost. B, since there wasn't any AIDS, no condoms. C, birth control, she takes the pill, you don't. D, a chick picking you up hitchhiking would have sex with you. E, no condoms. That's the way it was. But I got older, and I got fatter, and then I got married. And, of course, if you're married, you know what it is. Any guy that doesn't gain weight after he gets married, there's something seriously wrong. You should go immediately to a doctor. You probably have a tumor or something. Because if you don't get fat after you get married, even Pelton's put on a little paunch after hooking up with his old lady. Then there's something wrong, pal. But with me, it wasn't just the eating after getting married. It was the, you know, there's the spread, man. You hit 50 and it's all downhill. But there's a couple of things that I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up the sex, only now it's just with one woman. And I refuse to give up cigarettes. Because it's my constitutional right. And I'll light up anywhere I want. Kindergartens, daycare centers, emphysema wards, anywhere I want. Because it's my constitutional right. And the rights of smokers have been denied for too long. If I'm in an elevator and I've got a big black Cuban cigar or one of those Swisher Sweets, I'll light up. I'll light up because the Constitution of the United States of America says
I get to light up a cigarette. You want to know where else I'm going to light up? And if you think I'm kidding, why don't you just visit me this 4th of July? I'm going to light up in a fireworks factory. Oh, what's that? You don't want me to say it's dangerous? I got a constitutional right. I have a right to light a cigarette and smoke it all the way down to the butt in a fireworks factory. And then flick the butt right into a pile of skyrockets. Or whatever the hell they got in that place. So that's how I feel about it, and if anybody doesn't like it, well, I feel insecure about that now. I feel like I've lost a friend. I buy cartons of cigarettes. I go down there to the local liquor store, and I say, "Hi, Mrs. Cho, I'll take another carton of cigarettes." And she goes, "You know, you're wild, man. Can't wait to visit you at Lung Cancer Ward." I said, "I don't smoke them. I just look at them. I've got cartons and cartons sitting in the freezer." The thing about getting fat and getting married is if your wife is any kind of woman at all, she doesn't care. You know, I mean, I get out of the shower and there's things I used to be able to see when I was naked that I can't see anymore. They've disappeared. And I say, "Honey, look, it's disgusting." "No, it isn't. It's cute." A woman who says that is having an affair. She's cheating on you. She tells you you're cute when you're nude and you're fat. She's cheating on you. Go find her. Kill her. Craig Taylor on the piano, by the way. Hey, the other big news story from the year, along with Greta Van Susteren and the eye job she got, you know, one of our big forgotten news stories of the year? Here's a great forgotten news story of 2002. That cat with the cemetery in Georgia when he was dumping the bodies out in the woods. Remember that guy? Remember that was a big-ass story? And now you look back on it and you go, "Oh, whatever." For weeks, they wouldn't leave us alone about that story. For weeks, we had the faces of the relatives and the pain and the this and the that. And the guy he's some ghoul who was dumping the bodies. Then what did the guy get? He got fined like $50. He had like a parking ticket. That's what they give you. They give you a ticket. For what? For parking some guy out in the woods. Put him in a hole and do it right. Now go get him. The other big story is one that you probably didn't hear from the year 2002. Marcia Clark, the L.A. District Attorney, during the O.J. Simpson trial, she guest hosted for Rick Dees on Weekly Top 40. That's wild. I don't know how to comment on that. Marcia, she's an attorney. You're an attorney. You got a legal, you got a law degree, man. I mean, go make it happen. It can be a great thing. What is wrong with you people? You got a degree from MIT and you're writing for The Simpsons? You got a four-year degree, a bachelor, you got a master's degree, maybe a master's of business degree, and you're hanging around writing comedy on some dopey show? You've got a law degree from Harvard. And you're repping actors someplace? Don't you know that there is work to be done in this country? Now stop it. Stop it and go out and do some serious work. The only reason why I do this, as I've said many times, I have no college education. I went 2 years to Pasadena City College. I finally got disgusted. I left. I hitchhiked to Florida, and I started pouring cement. Yay! What a way to start your life. It's only by sheer luck that I found my way into this gig. Only sheer luck that I've even gotten this far. God has smiled on me, man. As the Buddhists say, I've got a treasure trove. I got some kind of a trove. And because I should have been dead years ago, either in a pileup when I was like 17, racing down El Molino someplace in Pasadena, or maybe on a freeway somewhere, probably a freeway shooting, the way I used to shoot the finger out the window, but not be alive and sit here telling these stupid stories and doing dumb voices. And on top of that, with no college degree, by the way, and on top of that, there's guys out there with four-year degrees filling in for Rick Dees on Weekly Top 40. They're attorneys. They're lawyers. My son wants to be a lawyer. I said, "Go ahead. I think it's a great profession. It's fantastic. We need good ones. People need to be protected before the law. Do it. Go for it. Be an attorney. Be a good lawyer, all right?" please don't take out an ad in the Yellow Pages that has anything to do with drunk driving, but I guess if you want to, you can do that too. That's okay.
I just want to make money.
Oh, well, you just want to make money. This is the kick the kids get on. Hey, what are you going to do with your life? Well, whatever makes me money. No. Don't you understand how you make money in this world? You got to love what you do. Love what you do. Then you make money. One follows the other. These guys are in for a rude awakening, man, when they get out into the world and they realize that their good looks ain't going to get them a Ferrari. This is the one, the second oldest one. The Ferrari Spider, are you kidding me? It's the greatest car going. Oh, it's fantastic. Well, good luck getting the 400 grand that it costs.
Oh, that's okay. When I get older, I'm not going to do dishes.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to do that?
I'm going to have a maid do them.
Oh, well, sure.
See? I mean, we live in a nice house. Why don't we have a maid do the dishes?
Because we got you guys.
Oh, ha ha, very funny.
Yeah, that's right. And after that, I want you to go up and scrub out my underwear. Now get up there and do it. Kids are great, man, because you learn from them and you also get to abuse them while making them laugh. I can make them do dishes and all kinds of crap. Then I'll crack them up while I'm sitting there watching them. What I always do is I pull a chair into the kitchen. I sit there and I put my hands behind my head and I go, begin. And they start doing just, well, why can't you help us? Because I don't feel like it. What's Mom doing? Mom's doing some other work. Go ahead, do the dishes. Go, sweep, sweep, sweep the floor faster. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And our website, philhenryshow.com. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's our number, 1-800-449-8686 is The Phil Hendry Show. You've heard about it. It's world famous. I do funny voices. People call in. They don't know they're talking to a real guy. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you, I'm getting to a point where I want to grow up a little bit. I think I'm still stuck in my... I'm still stuck in childhood doing goofy voices. It's a phone prank. That's right. The L.A. Times said it. Let me quote them. I believe they said, Phil Hendry plays a three-hour phone prank on America. Well, I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting sick of it. And it's time for me to grow up. And I want to do other topics. I want to be deadly serious. I want to get into the news of the day. I want to investigate, do interviews. Maybe now and again do a couple of giggles. Just do it the way all the other guys do it, you know? Do all the serious stuff and throw in kind of a real stale joke that I think is funny. That's the way I want to do it. Here's an interesting story. In fact, let's just kick it off right now. Can you believe this? The Haunted Mansion at Disneyland in California. It's long advertised itself as home to 999 happy haunts. Dig that. Do I even want to read this now or should I wait till the next hour? Because this is some solid stuff, huh? Go ahead. I do want to play with this because this is solid, man. Let's just wait. This is the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Something happened there, and it isn't all that crazy what happened there, but I think what's crazy is what's happening to Disneyland. Of course, when I was a kid, I went to Disneyland. I must have been five, and I saw a little cafe. It said Aunt Jemima's Pancake House, and there was a big fat lady, and she was black, and she was serving pancakes. And you know how you are when a kid? I thought that was Aunt Jemima. I was thrilled. I was just, there's Aunt Jemima. That's the lady on the box. Yes, that's, and of course my parents, of course, yeah, you know, they're encouraging it. That's Aunt Jemima. Wow! They hired a big, fat black woman, put on a bandana, she's serving flapjacks, and I thought that was the Aunt Jemima. All I ever wanted to do when I was a kid is meet Betty Crocker, Aunt Jemima, all of them. I wanted to hang with Uncle Ben, and when I found out none of these people existed, I wanted to go out and swallow a cap gun. I wanted to swallow the barrel of a cap gun. Uncle Ben looked pretty solid to me. And how about Chef Boyardee? That guy looked like a barrel of laughs. The cat's serving up really good spaghetti. Chef Boyardee's the only guy that serves up spaghetti that a kid can eat. It's fantastic. It's got that real rich, sugary tomato sauce, so you can get hooked on sugar real early in your life. And, of course, that Chef Boyardee, and then he made the little O things and them little meat-filled deals. Oh, yeah, the ravioli. Where was he? And then Duncan Hines is another guy I wanted to hang with. And I'd ask my mom, Mom, where's Duncan Hines? Well, he's back in a factory somewhere. You know, he's making all the brownies. I want to meet him. Sarah Lee. And who's that old lady, Mrs. What's-her-face? Mrs. Cuthbertson? Oh, how about Mrs. Butterworth? I hear she is freaking fine-looking. God, what? Hey, Debbie Fields exists. Mrs. Fields exists, and she is stunningly beautiful. And she's on the TV show there on Food Channel, and she's showing how to make it. Have you ever seen Mrs. Fields? She's a fine-looking woman. In fact, my wife used to know her, and then when Mrs. Fields found out that Maria wasn't all that rich in those days, she blew her off. So I said, Maria would say, oh, let's invite Debbie Fields to something. I said, Maria, when are you going to get it? What? She doesn't return your phone calls, honey. Well, we can invite... No, honey, she doesn't return your phone calls. You're too poor for her. Debbie Fields only hangs with people who drive... Escalades, okay? You're in a Mercury van. But we could forget it. I don't want her at our wedding. I don't want... If Debbie Fields shows up, I'm going to say, take that trash out back. It's Phil Henry Show.
And now here's Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
And Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police agency, joining us. Not an official police agency, Jay. We have to point that out because of legal repercussions that we've had on this program.
Well, so we do take a peek over the shoulder of the police to see how they're doing, where they need our help, where they are thin in the ranks. I think that, and we do have constitutional citizen's arrest powers.
Operation Move is something that the Citizens Auxiliary Police started?
Operation Move, Phil, was formulated by Major Elvis Newton, who is the founder of Citizens Auxiliary Police. And one evening I was summoned to his home at about 11:30 at night. He was sitting alone, and he was having a can of beer, and he was sitting in the chair that he uses to watch television in. And he told me he had a thought, almost like a clarity, if you will, about the malls this Christmas, that they were going to be overcrowded. And the way to deal with the overcrowding in the malls was to station sub-commanders, and those are individual members of Citizens Auxiliary Police, at what are called the mall directories, Phil, and if you're familiar...
The places where you look at the map of the mall and it shows a list of the stores.
That is correct. And Major Newton's vision, if you will, was one in which he saw people crowding and clogging the entryway to the mall because they were standing around looking at the mall directory, taking far more time than they needed to, not being very efficient with their use of the mall directory. He directed me at that time to station subcommanders at various malls around Southern California and around the nation, utilizing other auxiliary police and volunteer police services. The use of the Gator Brigade of Florida, North Beaver Battalion of Oregon, simulated police of New York State, and the Minutemen of Pennsylvania, as well as volunteer police agencies in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and elsewhere. We will have Citizens Auxiliary Police officers standing in malls and timing people as they look at these directories. At which time, after 1 minute, they are reminded that they need to move along, that there are other people who want to look at the map, that they're wasting our time, they're wasting their own time, they're clogging up the mall, they're standing around, they're not buying anything. These are the things I think that are concerning us.
Okay, I like that, but what about the constitutional rights of these people to stand there?
Well, there is no constitutional right to create a fire hazard. There is no constitutional right to clog entry or exit ways. What we do, and what we hope people will understand when we do it, is when someone walks up to a directory, we do what we call a big hand, little hand, which is police parlance. It means we will time them. At that point, we will give them 60 seconds to find the store or some of these people that are looking for an ice cream store or whatever. And at that point, they have exactly 60 seconds to find the shop they're looking for. If they do not, within 60 seconds, they are then directed to step back 2 paces, pivot with the left foot, move forward and on out of the area.
All right, now I have to ask you about the abuse of power case, and this involved the Delman Mall.
That is correct.
Tell me, who was the man?
That was Sub-Commander Gilgren. He was handling a man who was told to step back 2 paces. The man did not pivot off the left foot as you are supposed to. Unfortunately, our officer drew his riot club and definitely overstepped his authority, and he's under review and will probably lose his job.
The man had a dislocated kneecap.
Our officers are trained to go for the kneecap and the elbow. We are trained basically to pinch the flesh of the cheek. It's very painful. To hit the kneecap with the riot stick, the elbow, then go to the sides of the head, and finally, if that doesn't work, then go to the front of the face with the riot stick, and if that doesn't work, then go for the mouth. Now you're looking for him to swallow teeth. This is part of the training of our officers. And if that doesn't work, then we do what we call a shark shot, which is like a pool shot right to the testicles. And we hold the stick like a pool cue.
Uh-huh.
And go right after the... And go right after the testicles.
We're talking to Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Operation Move will start this weekend, in which he'll have sub-commanders at different malls around the country. If you're standing in front of a mall directory and you take more than 60 seconds finding your destination, you'll be asked to step back, pivot, and leave the area.
That is correct.
Anybody that does not?
Again, we have the case of that one officer who got a little carried away with the riot stick, but no. If they don't move, it obviously is going to involve us enforcing the move-in policy. Because we don't want people crowding over the van at the mall entrances.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And, of course, we welcome your thoughts on just exactly how your auxiliary police will crowd control at these malls. I know it gets very crowded out there, Jay, especially with the parking. Do you have any ideas on parking as well?
Well, on the parking situation, it's the same thing, Phil. We have an awful lot of people who park their car and seem to think they have the right to keep the car there for hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours. If you're more efficient with your shopping, you can keep the car there for 1 hour, hour and a half, and then you move on. Our officers have been charged by me, and I take full responsibility for this, to mark an automobile once it goes into the parking lot. If we come back 90 minutes later and the car is still there, then we will let air out of what? Then we will let air out of a couple of the tires so the car cannot be moved until we cite that individual.
Now, how do you mark the car? With chalk? The way they...
No, we don't use chalk because people can wipe that off. We take a small knife, a small Swiss Army knife, and we just carve a little bit of paint out of the side of the car.
All right, so I want to get this straight. If I don't get my car, you carve a little bit of paint off the car so you know what?
So we know that the Citizens Auxiliary Police officer's been there.
How are you guys patrolling a large parking lot?
We have golf carts that we have a golf cart that we use. Bob Skensky, who's one of our sub-commanders, has a membership over San Gabriel, and he took the golf cart out of there, which I don't know if they know that he did, but we have a metallic sign that says Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Right.
And we put it on the front of the cart.
So it's it's possible that I'm going to come back to my car, see 2 flat tires and some paint carved off the back of my car if I take too long.
That is correct. And I don't want to do it. Let me tell you something, Phil. The last thing I want to do is have to mark a car and take the air out of the rear 2 tires because you have stayed in a parking slot for 90 minutes. That's the last thing I want to do. The last thing. But if I got to do my duty, I'll do my duty. And the same goes true with the mall. Now, we beat a man almost to death because he didn't pivot on his left foot. I have apologized to that. I've apologized to that man's wife. And we will do what we can to make right on that.
But when we tell you to step back away from that mall directory, pivot on the left foot, and then clear the area. And
well, you're asking them to leave the area.
No, we're not. We're asking them to clear the area. Okay?
What's the difference?
There is no difference, but it's just, I want to say clear.
All right.
And we're also very concerned about the people in stores who stand and stare at a product for too long, deciding whether to buy it. We will approach them, tap with the baton, and then push them out of the way. First thing we do is we tap the shoulder with our riot baton. And we'll say, why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
Yeah.
And then we will have them move out of the area. We'll push them out of the air with the baton.
All right, all of this predicated on your constitutional right, so you say, to offer a citizen's arrest.
We have the right to, as citizens, auxiliary police, to assist police. Things have been getting out of hand lately, quite frankly, Mr. Henry. The police can only do so much. And I've been looking around, and, of course, that's when Major Elvis Newton had a vision one night. He was in bed, and he was laying there, and his wife had died. And he did not know it till the next morning, but he was talking to her. And he was saying, I've got a vision about starting a auxiliary police, even though she was laying next to him dead. And he kissed her goodnight. In fact, I think he said he made love to her.
And she was dead?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I know. It's ugly. And yet out of that very sordid experience came Sisters Auxiliary Police.
All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. If you're standing at a mall directory and you do not move out of the way fast enough, you're clogging the area, you'll be asked to move out of the way by the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you take more than 90 minutes getting your car out of a parking lot during Christmas time, your rear two tires will be flattened and paint will be chipped out of the back of your car so they can identify you. And finally, if you're staring too long at a product in a store, they come up to you and say, take a picture, it'll last longer, and then move you out of the area. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The question is, while this may be helpful to keeping the malls clear and the stores clear, is it constitutional? I'm Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. Not an established police agency, a volunteer police agency. They'll be in malls across America. And do you have the approval of the mall security to stand there and tell people that they got to get moving away from the mall directory because they're taking too much time, and the approval to let air out of tires?
Mr. Henry, under the Constitution of the United States of America, a citizens' militia. Is more what we are, is empowered by the Constitution to monitor credentialed behavior. That includes mall activity. But we're not trying to do anything other than move these people away from the mall directories, standing around looking stupid, can't find where they want to go, don't even know where they want to go. I talked to a guy the other day in a mall, and he was one of these retarded people who was just like looking at all the different colors of the stores. And I had to move along with the butt end of my baton. But these things do happen, and of course we're very, very fortunate that we have the people to deal with it.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Henry. Go ahead, Henry. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
What's this guy's name?
Jay Santos. Jay?
Jay Santos.
Jay, you're nothing but a rent-a-cop. That's what we call you. We call you rent-a-cops. What kind of authority do you think you have telling people...
Excuse me, I get the job done.
What?
I said I get the job done.
Are you kidding me? If someone come up to me and even, I don't even let people put paint on my, or chalk on my tires. If you let the air out of my tires, I'd flatten you.
Well, then you'd have to fight your way out of that lot.
How do you think a rent-a-cop, how do you even, like, go to work knowing that you're a rent-a-cop? That's all you are, is a rent-a-cop.
Well, I'll tell you, sir, I get the job done, and one way or the other, we're going to get the job done.
What job is it? Telling people to move on?
Well,
get rid of my parking lot, okay?
Who are you to clog up a parking space for, you know?
I'm paying for that parking
space.
You're paying
for the parking space. That's
great. I spend $150 in Nordstrom's, I'm paying for that parking
space. That could very well be, Mr. Citizen, but maybe you're in there just chewing gumballs and walking around and eating ice cream. How do I know?
That's why they have validation.
There is no validation public lots. I don't know where you're from, but in California...
I'm from Salt Lake City, and you'd think California'd have validation.
Validation. Validation's something you get from your father. What are you talking about?
Parking validation. They got stickers, they got tokens.
I've never been in a department store lot you had to pay for. Never.
You have to... You
never.
Know what? You need to go to a better mall. You're
never.
One of those strip malls
never.
Or something.
No, I'm talking about... hey, listen, citizen... I'm talking about...
I can't believe this.
I may be a rent-a-cop, you may be a redneck, all right? But the fact is, I get the job done, and you tell me I can't flatten your tires, you fight your way out of that lot. Now, I'll remind you, you spend too long in the mall, all our members have received tetanus shots, and we Citizens Auxiliary Police are not afraid to bite if we have to get you the hell out of there.
You'd have to be... You'd
bite?
Be biting, and you'd be throwing
right.
hand over fist, getting me out of there.
Yeah, that's right, sure.
You got to be kidding me. You think this is a prestigious job, and you're doing like a community service or something.
I am acting... People are driving around looking for a parking space. You're in the mall chewing gumballs and eating ice cream, and they're looking for a place to park.
How do you know that?
Well, what are you doing?
People are spending money on holidays. I don't go to the mall to chew gum. Well, people go to the mall to buy
things. Who are these people that I see? They're sitting in the middle of the mall eating bags of popcorn and staring.
Those are the old people.
Okay, they're clogging up the spaces out there.
Go get the beater cars. I spend $400 a month on my car. You paint.
$400 a month?
Wow. In California.
I beg your pardon?
We're in California.
I'm in Southern California, South Bay.
That's ridiculous.
Well... I'll tell you, friend, I'm just trying to do my job. I'm trying to save lives.
Yeah, well, I'm
letting air out of people's tires.
I got to jump in here. Saving lives, the people that are sitting in the middle of the mall and eating popcorn and looking dopey, like this gentleman said, a lot of times they're senior citizens. They're waiting for the high school band to come in or the roller rink or whatever the hell they're doing. Most people,
doing their laps.
Whatever. Most people are there to shop. And how do you know that you're not letting the air out of the tires of some guy that's dumping tons and tons of money into the store?
Want to know how?
Yes.
When they come out of the store.
I spent $240. If I would have had a paint chip taken out of the back of my car, I would have beat. I'd have beat you down.
You'd have to fight. You had to fight your way out of that lot.
I would have beat you down.
Yeah,
I would have paid you the paint chip.
Guarantee about 20 Citizens Auxiliary Police officers.
It's because you're in California.
You know something?
And you got all those gays that are too.
Oh, there you go. That's original.
You.
Yeah, that's original. Let me tell you something. 20 Citizens Auxiliary Police officers is...
You're not a police officer. You're a rent-a-cop.
Well, and you're...
You need to coin that phrase, rent-a-cop.
Yeah, right. Remember this one. Remember this one. White trash. White trash.
You throw your keys at people.
All right.
I throw my keys.
All right. I throw my keys and you throw your teeth. But the thing with...
All right. Thanks. Here is Larry on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from the state of Michigan. Let me tell you something.
Yes, sir. This is Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you something. If I walked into the mall here in Michigan...
I can't hear you, sir. Speak up.
Okay, one of you people walked into the mall and did that to me...
Yeah?
Most likely, I would shoot you in the head with a large caliber handgun, and then the rest of you is out there.
You've seen a lot of... you've seen too many cartoons. You've seen too many cartoons.
Okay, go ahead and try, asshole.
You've seen too many cartoons. What were you trying to do? What, did you hang up?
Well, he said he was going to shoot you, so yeah, he did hang up.
Well, to the gentleman that just called, quit reading so many comic books, okay? You're reading a lot of comic books, you've seen a lot of cartoons, you're watching too much Nick at Night, a lot of Mary Tyler Moore, a lot of Dick Van Dyke. I would get off of that, I'd start getting into a better, healthier kick, watch a little of the Today Show, get out, get some sunshine, and breathe a little oxygen. But I will tell you this, Phil, Citizens Auxiliary Police about saving lives, and...
Will you speak clearly? I can't get the way you're talking, I can't understand you.
I'm sorry, Phil. Citizens Auxiliary Police is about saving lives. And the lives that we save today could be the life of your daughter, your son, your wife, your father, your mother. Could be the life of your nephew, your niece, your aunt, your uncle, a great-grandfather.
I get the idea. You're saving the lives of people. But the point that this gentleman was making, well, you never answered his question. How do you know he's not in the mall spending a lot of money?
I'll tell you why, and he didn't let me answer. I'll tell you. You want to know why?
How do you know?
I'll tell you how. When they come out of the store... Do they have all packages? If they have all packages, then I know. See?
Okay, smart guy. They come out of the store, they got a lot of packages, and they got two flat tires. Now what do they do?
We are sorry. We tip the tip of our pith helmet, and we're sorry.
And you leave them there with flat tires?
I have a bicycle pump that they're free to use.
1-800-449-8686. Lachelle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
You are such an idiot. You're just the biggest idiot I know. And I, you know what? I can't believe they let idiots like you even on the radio.
Ma'am,
where do you think you're coming from? And who do you think you are? There are kids out there that be out there, I mean, probably chewing bubble gum and eating popcorn you know what I mean? Waiting for their parents who's spending a lot of money in the mall.
Well,
and
I doubt it.
You have the audacity to sit here and play this stupid game. You need your ass kicked.
I doubt that very seriously. Hello. Yeah, hello. Okay, well, Phil, that's something we're going to have to deal with. I'm Jay Santos, and nobody talks to me like that.
So I come out of the mall, I got two flat tires.
I tip my pimp helmet and give you a bicycle pump.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
What a jackass.
Whatever the laws of any state.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't think that far ahead.
Authorized organization swing.
You can't flatten my tires and I come out with $9 million worth of stuff and you're telling me that I don't...
Militia, the Rangers...
Or the Citizens Auxiliary, please.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our law.
What?
Zipper.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So anyway, I told you that I would do this, and I'm going to do it. The Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Have you ever been to Disneyland? They got a Haunted Mansion. You get in the ride, you see spooks. Then you go out, you go back, you get some cotton candy. Yeah, it's cool. Get some cotton candy, you're out of there. But you go in, they got a room that stretches. Get in the car, you ride around. There's all kinds of ghosts and crap that goes on. So a small group of visitors arrived at the Haunted Mansion late in the evening, December 14th, last Saturday night. They asked for their own stretching room. Now, this is a room that spookily stretches, and you all go, woo, you know, it looks like the room's getting bigger. And I think the ceiling is rising, but it feels like you're going down. Oh, it's going down? Craig knows all there is to know about the hydraulics at Disneyland. And they wanted to take time to pray and have a quick memorial service for a 7-year-old boy that had died recently. It was their 7-year-old boy. Even though the queue was crowded, the line into the Haunted Mansion, the lead was granted. The request was granted. Well, the lead granted the request. I guess there's somebody called a lead. I don't know what that is. That's the guy who runs the manager of the Haunted Mansion. The party proceeded through the attraction without incident until their doom buggies. These are the buggies that you ride in as you go into the Haunted Mansion graveyard and you go through all of these areas. Until their doom buggies, suddenly, via the hidden camera, the host in the tower, which is where they see you, noticed one of the guests throwing a pottery substance out of her buggy. And instead of stopping the attraction, the operator repeatedly asked the party to not throw anything on the ride. Well, they didn't stop. They kept throwing stuff. He called his supervisor. It was too late. The guests had exited and vanished into the crowded park. They were throwing a powder into the Haunted Mansion. It turned out these were the ashes of this little boy. And they had to shut the whole ride down. They had to bring security in from all over the place. They had to make sure that the ashes were, whatever this stuff wasn't anthrax, I guess. And they, you know... And what did these people get for their trouble? There's a guy vacuuming your kid's ashes up now. These people came in with the ashes of their 7-year-old and they tossed it because it was probably his favorite ride, the little boy's favorite ride. And they probably didn't have any clue that the Disney rides, they got cameras all over the place, man. They could see everything you're doing. Although back in the day when people were smoking joints, I don't know if they actually saw that or not. Because you could go through the Haunted Mansion about 20 years ago and just smell reefer everywhere. About 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, you could just smell the reefer thick in there. So that's probably why they started in with these video cameras. You could just, well, never mind. So these people threw these ashes in there. They got caught, and they had to split. And the investigators identified the substance as human remains. Eventually, custodians were called to clean the ride and disinfect the vehicles. Buggies 49 and 50. The closure lasted hours. So here's the thing. First of all, the guy that was running that ride should have shut it down and threw him off, right? I mean, I don't dig it. But the other thing is, like, now the kid's ashes have been sucked up by a Hoover. Your kid's ashes are in a dumpster out back. And then the other thing, the bigger picture here, Disneyland down through the years has attracted, it attracts all kinds of people, but the most bizarre behavior takes place there. Bizarre, strange, and sometimes lethal. Years ago, some guy crawled up onto the monorail track and got hit by the monorail. Now, have you ever seen the monorail? It grips the track. It's like a hand gripping an arm. Just hold onto your arm with your hand. That's exactly how a monorail travels along the track. It has these I don't know what you'd call them. They're just sensors that run along the side of the monorail as well as the top. You imagine a human being getting hit by that. You got it. One big red smear. This clown did this at Disneyland. They've had outright gang warfare at Disneyland. One year, during the Vietnam War, some freaks took over Frontierland and raised the North Vietnamese flag. God is my witness. One Saturday afternoon, a bunch of hippies went into Frontierland, wherever the flagpole is, I think at the fort entrance, and raised the North Vietnamese flag. And now we have these nuts going in with the... You know, the place is just so odd. And I wonder what would happen if, by law, we had to shut Disneyland and Disney World down for like a week. What would happen? No, not a week. How about a year? Man, I bet you there would be homicide rates would be going through the roof. People would be in rubber rooms. Place is wild, man. But I don't go there anymore. I go on the Disney cruise now. That's my thing. We take the kids. We go out on that boat. It's out of sight. You get some sun. You get a little fresh air. And there's nobody to tell you to put your cigarette out because you're out in international waters. So you can go up on deck and puff away. You can go and get hammered all you want because they got these adult bars. And then you can tell the kids to go get lost because they got all this kid area. And what's going to happen to a kid on a Disney boat, right? Like, how about nothing? They could fall off, but is that such a loss? I mean, you know, so that's great. But I don't go to Disneyland or Disney World anymore because the people are just odd. Really out there. And the other thing about Disneyland, this is great. You see a guy, like, in a bar, maybe having a beer, and this guy is, yeah, hey, all right, high-fiving, dude, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. If you hit him the wrong way, he may turn around and push you or something. He's ready to fight, he's ready to rock and roll, he's ready to drink, he's watching the ball game with his buddies like that, right, okay. The very same guy ran up to me on Main Street wearing mouse ears and went, do you know when the parade starts? Because it happens. You go to Disneyland and you suddenly go from being a badass to... I said, no, I'm really not familiar. It's the Main Street Parade. And I said, didn't I see you last night kicking somebody's ass in a bar? What are you doing here with mouse ears? Get out of here. Oh, quit it. You hit me. What are you doing here, man? You want to be out? I'm here with my girlfriend. This is fun. Then he goes out to the car. Yeah. Comes back in. Yeah. It's a real transformation. It's frightening. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. What's-His-Face. So I think the place is really, really gone, man. And I think they need to shut it down for hosing purposes. I think they got to hose the whole thing out, disinfect it, change the rides, don't allow people in who wear purple, some kind of a screening process. I think they ought to keep all the white folks out. I think they should just have, you know, just a whole day for minorities. And that California day they have, do you ever go to that? When you have a California license, you get in half price for California residents. And the other thing about Disneyland, which I don't get, is they got a really cool park down there, that California theme park, that California whatever the hell it is, California Adventure. Fantastic. Nobody goes in there. Why? It's great. They got restaurants, they got a roller coaster, they got everything. And the people there are not as odd. But Disneyland, people are in there doing the last rites? You know, that reminds me, they should have a funeral pyre on Tom Sawyer's Island. You know how you can get married at Disney World? You can get married. They have a little... Yeah, they ought to have a funeral pyre where you can get buried there, where you can they can just torch your body. They can torch your body, and it'll be a character funeral. They'll have Mickey and Minnie and Pluto, and they're all standing there just watching, smoking cigars, chatting while your body goes up. California Adventure is a real cool place. Go visit it, all right? But that park, that main park, stay out of that haunted mansion. There's some real oddballs in there. And that goes for Pirates of the Caribbean, too. It just sucked ever since the guy can't chase that fat chick around anymore, you know? All of a sudden, it's not cool, right? It's like the black Vulcan on Star Trek. Forgive me, but Vulcans aren't black. Yeah, they aren't. Well, no, they're not. Well, yes, they are. Well, how do you know? Because there's one. Well, no, they're not. Not black. Every time I watch Star Trek, I see one black Vulcan. They're green or something, man. They don't. There's no black Vulcans. The only cats that are black are the Klingons. You dig the Klingons because they look black, they look white, they're like that. Here I am talking Star Trek. I gotta get out of here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My wife and I had this big argument. It wasn't an argument, but I said, do you want to get that smallpox vaccine? She said, I think we should. I said, forget it. She said, well, I think it's only prudent. Well, prudent about what? Because she does a radio show. On her radio show, she had a... Because my wife does these interview shows, which are very good, by the way. Maria Sanchez on KCLU, Thousand Oaks. And she said that the person that she was interviewing said, well, it'll be available to the public in 2004. But really, according to our sources, you can get it any time you want. You go to a doctor, you say, I want smallpox vaccine. Supposedly, he's got to give it to you, right? I said, I don't. Why? Why? We don't need it. Well, it's better to be safe than sorry. Forget it. I don't need that. And I'm not going to get it either. I'm getting tired of everything getting blown way out of proportion. I'm getting really weary of that. Everything getting blown way out of proportion. Anthrax was just going to be... Y2K was the best, though, wasn't it? Remember those the Y2K scare? The world was going to shut down. I wish I could find half of those guys that wrote all those books. The world was going to shut down, and the computers were going to shut down, and there wouldn't be any money, and there wouldn't be any food, and there wouldn't be any water, and just horrible, and what's the government doing, and why don't they do something more, and, you know, on and on and on it goes. Everything, and then midnight comes, 2000, nothing happens. Nothing. I bet you those people that got those guns and got those that water and got all of that food, it felt like the world. I bet you they felt dumber than Sean Penn. Coming back from Iraq. Here's Hollywood for you, by the way. Did I told you, man, after the anthrax thing, they're all the movie stars out here looking for Cipro. Now, those cats that were lining up in front of the TV, you know, the cameras the other day, talking about how they didn't think we should go to Iraq and go to war, I bet you if smallpox hit, I bet you they'd be the first one in line for the vaccine. What do you think? Maybe they got a little connection on that smallpox thing. I ain't getting any smallpox vaccine. Forget it. I'm getting tired of all of the screaming crazy people. Crazy screaming idiots that frankly have no idea, no conception of what it is that they're talking about. They made Al-Qaeda look like these guys are world beaters, like these cats are the second coming of chaos, like it's they're coming from freaking, they're the three cats from Krypton, man. Like these dudes, you remember the guys that came down and zapped Frank, what's his name? Superman or Frankenstein, I forget which. Who's from Krypton? Frankenstein? Okay. They zapped him. You'd think that Al-Qaeda was that bald-headed Lex Luthor guy. They can't. Those guys can barely find their way around town. They haven't even got road maps. They blew up a thing in Bali. They thought they were in America. They didn't know where. They thought they were in Australia. They're the dumbest pack of jackasses. All they do is bluff. And now they got everybody thinking that they got freaking smallpox. Those dumbasses, if they ever get their hands on this stuff, they'd die from it before it ever got over here. Well, I think it's really the smart thing. Okay, go ahead. Go get vaccinated. I'll tell you what I need to be vaccinated for. I need to be vaccinated for mumps. My kids, I don't know if you know this or not, but kids don't get mumps or measles anymore. It hasn't happened for years. Did you get measles, Craig? Even your generation never got it. My generation is the last generation that had to suffer through measles and all that crap, laying in bed with a fever, feeling like 10 shades of crap, wanting to get out of bed but being too delirious to do. Oh, it was horrible, horrible growing up with all of those problems. But I never got the mumps. And you got to get, you know, immune to it. Well, it turns out that my kids don't get it because they got vaccine for this now. So there's like two generations, three generations of kids that have never, ever had these diseases. So I'm sitting out here, but as soon as I moved in with my kids, I didn't get the mumps or the measles because they didn't have it. I got every flu and cold bug known to mortal man. They were carrying it around in their hands and their clothes. They'd come home after mixing around with other little kids. And then for the first year I was married, I was laid up sick as a dog for a solid year. I had a cold all winter. It just never went away because my kids would come back with new germs, new and exciting flu viruses. And I remember I was puking one minute, and I was laying there sweating for malaria the next. I had beriberi, malaria. I had Tonga River fever. I got it all from my kids. And all of them are just prancing around going, gee, Sailor Moon's on at 7. And I'm laying there with just a, come here, Kimba. Go across the river. Get medicine from white man. Oh, boom, 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 boom. God. But then after a year, I got immune to everything. So now, this summer, this winter, I ain't got one cold, man. I am solid. My wife's got the sniffles, everybody. But anyway, getting back to this mumps and measles and all that stuff, nobody gets sick with this stuff anymore. I got the smallpox vaccine when I was a kid. That's good enough for me. You know what I mean? I refuse to be part of a mob. You know, do you hear what I'm saying? Aren't you tired of being manipulated by this information? Aren't you weary of this? I know one thing those guys know how to do. They know how to fly airplanes into buildings. The rest of it, I don't know what they can do. I know there's one doctor, this Hatfield guy, who's got some kind of a mental problem. I don't know what. His daddy didn't love him enough. I don't know what he did, but he was sending anthrax around. That's the guy they're looking at. So the Al-Qaeda didn't even have anthrax. And this smallpox baloney. Let me ask you, if Saddam had all that nerve gas and all that stuff, how come he didn't dump some of that stuff on Israel during the Gulf War? He didn't dump any of that on Israel. If anybody's got to worry, it's that country. I would say if anybody had something to sweat, it was Israel. They're only a few hundred miles away from that nut. So I said to my wife, look, baby, everything's going to be cool. You know, if I die, there's plenty of dough, and I'm sure you've squirreled away some that I don't know about. So she said, how dare you? But you're right. Okay. Did you ever suspect your wife of squirreling away dough and you don't know about it? How about you? Chris, you don't bring any money home. I forgot. Yeah. I'm sure she's got an account someplace. I'm sure somewhere, somehow. She's squirreling it away. Hey, good for you, baby. Do whatever you got to do. It's like Carmella digging in the duck food, you know? I ain't hiding it. Carmella digging around in that duck food looking for another 20, 30 grand. We had this big, big discussion about, you know, money. And I said, are we saving enough money? She goes, yes, every freaking nickel. I said, because I got big plans. I got big plans. I don't want to be relying on anybody for my well-being and income ever again as long as I live. I said, so can I have 10 grand? Because there's an off-track betting parlor. And she... 877-616-7445 for the CD. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.